Good evening, everybody, and a particular welcome to Wilf and Lynn. Lovely to have you with us again. Hazel's going to bring us our first reading, which is from Psalm 23.
Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Mick's going to bring us our second reading, which is in John 5, beginning at verse 31.
That's John 5, starting at verse 31, through to the end of the chapter. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favour, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have said to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, pardon me, nor seen his form. Nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures, because you think by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I have to say? This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to hand over to Wilf now.
Let me say what a joy it is to be with you folks once again here at Heron Hill. Lynn and I have some very special memories of coming here over many, many years. Faces have changed, at least some of them have. There's some that's been there around a little bit, and it's good to see new faces. It's good to see familiar faces as well. It was brilliant to listen before the service began to choruses I learned at Sunday school. It's so strange, because I was out this morning taking a service and I quoted a little song that we used to sing, and it has relevance because it's mentioned here in John chapter 5 in the testimony of John, and the chorus was, Jesus bids us shine with a pure clear light like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. And I believe that's a very simple chorus, but it's fundamentally true. We are to shine where we are. And John says here, doesn't he, as Jesus was talking to the people there, he says, you are sent to John and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human tests, but I mention it so that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light. And you chose for a time to enjoy that light. We often sing, oh, that the world might taste and see the riches of his grace. The arms of love that compass me would all mankind embrace. And I get the sense that our Lord Jesus Christ sometimes was frustrated by the fact that the people he was speaking to were not responsive to the words that he was saying. He says on another occasion, I would have loved to have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing. What a lovely picture that is, isn't it? And you would not come. You refused to gather. And we know that if the chickens aren't under the wing of the hen, then they're in danger. And there's so many people, I believe tonight, who are in danger because of the fact they are not covered by the love and the grace of God. And it's our duty, as Chris has been already intimated, to witness and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago I was asked to take an afternoon meeting to a group of ladies. And I went with fear and trepidation. I'm glad there's gentlemen here tonight, I'll say it would be the same tonight. But prior to that, I got a phone message to ask, what's your topic, Wilf? And of course, anybody that knows me knows that I haven't a topic until about 10 minutes before I speak sometimes. But it set my mind in motion. And at that time, we were getting, and continue to do so much stuff on radio, TV, through the media, about accusation and counter-accusation. Some people call it fake news, and some of it is fake. And it's sorting the good from that which isn't true. And it seems to be part and parcel of this life that we are caught up in these days. There is so much that is being said that brings sadness to our hearts. And in respect to this, I began to think, well, what am I to talk to these people about this particular afternoon? And it seemed that the little phrase, the testimony, and the power of testimony came to my mind. The power of testimony is an incredible thing. And I guess if you look back over your lives and think of your own Christian experience, you'll come to a realization that it was because of some testimony or some word of testimony that brought you to a point of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly was with me. And I guess it was with many others. I don't know whether you watched the Songs of Praise tonight, but it was from Enniskillen in Northern Ireland, and it made reference to the tragedy that took place some years ago on Remembrance Day, when people were assembled to pay tribute to those who had fallen in wars and in atrocities, and a bomb went off and caused many deaths. And one particular death was that of Marie Wilson. And we know that following that, there was a wonderful testimony of faith in God and trust in God and forgiveness that God can bring by Marie's father, Gordon Wilson. And as he was recorded again, as a picture of him and some of the words that he was saying was brought to the attention of the Songs of Praise viewers tonight, I thought, yes, that's a replica of what the writer to the Hebrews was saying so many years ago. That even though he be dead, yet he is still speaking. And who knows that what you say, what you do, who you are, will not be spoken of, will not be reflected upon, long after this earthly body is gone and finished. He being dead, yet speaks. For in that book of Hebrews we find that the writer there says, by faith these people looked for something that they could not see, that wasn't there. They looked beyond the present to the time that was to come. And right down through the years, men and women of faith have been resolute. And in the beginning of that chapter, the writer says, if we have not faith, we don't know God. And so it is by faith that we know God and we follow him. So then I just want to mention a few things about the power of testimony. And that psalm that we read from the Old Testament, or perhaps the most familiar psalm that we know, is a testimony of David the shepherd boy. Looks at his life, he looks at his situation, he likens himself to a sheep and the shepherd. And that's a lovely picture, because I can relate to that in my life. Someone said just the other night, we had a fellowship meeting, and the lady concerned, she spoke about what we'd thought of when we were at school, when we were in the early years of adolescence. What was our hope? What was our ambition? What did we want to be? And one or two mentioned, and I thought, well, I'm going to say yes. What I wanted to be was simply a farmer. And then she asked another question. And what have you been passionate about through your life? And again, it came to me, well, I was passionate about farming. And that's not a bad thing, I don't think. I don't think it's really that dramatic, because my life has been lived in and around that occupation of farming and of doing something that I really like to get my teeth into and so forth. And when Chris mentioned about the 23rd Psalm, my thoughts went to an occasion where Lynn and I were on holiday. Farmers do have holidays now and again, you know, even though they maybe say they don't, but some of them do anyway. And we went on holiday down into the Isle of Wight. We had a lovely holiday there, the sun shone. And so it was warm, and it was a good place to stay for a few days. And on the Sunday morning, being our usual tradition, if you like, or our usual thing, we sought out a place of worship. And we walked down this particular street, and it was interesting, because we passed one or two, and the doors were closed, but we knew there was a service. And then we came to this one, the doors were open, people were on the doorstep, and they were smiling and saying hello to people that passed by. And we thought, there's a welcome. And so we went into this particular church, and I don't know what denomination was, it doesn't really matter. But when the pastor stood up, he made my little ears sort of tweak up, because he said, this morning I'm going to tell you about something perhaps you've never even seen or heard of. I'm going to tell you about a Cumbrian shepherd. And through the course of the service, he said one or two things that I rather took umbrance with, actually. But I put him right afterwards, I can tell you. But David speaks of the Lord being his shepherd. And what a wonderful thing it is when the Lord is your shepherd. Because he's the one who has saved you. And in that chapter in John that we read together there, in the very beginning of that portion that you read to us, when he was talking about John and his witness, we read that John spoke that, testified, in order that you might be saved. That was John's message about the coming Messiah, that he was one who was going to be able to save you. And we know that he saved because he sacrificed his life, gave his life. And that is this first essential of a testimony, that we are saved, that we know where we stand. Going back to again to my childhood, and I do it more or less continually nowadays for some reason, I think it's something to do with age. But we had in our school, in those days, I don't know about you people in your situation, but nowadays, children, my grandchildren, they go off to some far distant place, they have a visit to London as a trip, they have a visit abroad as a trip, they do an excursion skiing as a trip, and so on and so forth. And it sounds so amazing. It was never like that in my day. I don't know whether in your day, But we were lucky if we went down into Kirby Stephen. And dear old Fred there, you know, I shouldn't say old Fred, dear Fred there, he was in the same form, I think, as me, or somewhere near. And did you remember going to the courthouse, Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to the courthouse in Kirby Stephen. And there we were told about the intricacies of what happened in the courtroom. And how people who were there being accused of whatever stood in the dock. And the magistrates who were sitting up on the seats on the side. And saw the procedure. But he also mentioned, the person that was telling us, he also mentioned about the fact that the oath was taken. The hand was placed on the Bible, and you took the oath, and promised to speak the truth, nothing but the truth, and so help you God. 4 years ago, this was in question, because in this country in which we live, there are many who do not believe or have no association with the Word of God. So what does it mean to them, holding this book? They might as well hold Enid Blyton's sort of whatever. But this is the Word of God, the truth, the message of truth. And when you hold that, you speak the truth. Sadly, not many or not all refer to that. But I want to ask you, and I'm being personal here, what is your testimony? First of all, do you know you are saved? Wesley was adamant in his message, in his sermons, that we need to know that we're saved. And we need to know that we're saved to the uttermost. That there's nothing there that can be sort of said, well, there's only a bit of me saved. I'm saved, all of me saved. Hallelujah. And I know that being saved means that I am a friend of God. That's what the Hebrew writers were saying. These people were the friends of God. They were in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what being a Christian really means. Being in a relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. God Himself. And so testimony begins there. And I guess as you look at people and you hear their testimony drawn out and declared, that brings joy to your heart. A few years ago, Lynn and I were visiting a very dear friend who at that point was suffering the illness of cancer. He had only weeks, months to live. And the visit was arranged through his wife, Pat. She rang up, she said, can you come and see us, because David has been given this diagnosis. And we travelled over to near Northallerton to Beedale, and we went to see David and Pat, and it was a very wonderful afternoon. But that morning Pat had received a telephone message from another dear friend who just lived quite close, a retired minister by the name of Tom Teasdale. And Tom had been a minister in that particular area for some time. He'd been greatly loved and respected by his witness, a man who spoke the language that they spoke. He spoke of people needing the Lord Jesus Christ and needing a fellowship and a relationship with him. And Tom had rung up that morning and said, can I come over this afternoon to see David? And Pat sort of said, well, we have Wilf and Lynn's coming, and we didn't know Tom at that time. He said, could you put it off for another day? Could you come some other time, Tom, when it's probably more convenient? And because we have Wilf and Lynn coming this afternoon. And, of course, Tom, probably a little bit hard of hearing, I don't know. But when Pat when welcomed us, she says, I told Tom not to come, but she said he may come even so. And sure enough, in the afternoon, there's a knock on the door, and it's Tom. And he comes in and, of course, makes himself at home. And it was lovely seeing this man. We'd heard a lot about him because he'd been a wonderful Christian, a wonderful witness in that area. And Tom came in and he began to speak. And Lynn's with us tonight, and she pricked up her ears and she said all at once, she said, I detect a little bit of a Geordie accent there. She being a Geordie, of course, she knew what she was talking about. And from there on, the conversation, well, David Platt and myself might as well not have been in the room, actually, because the two were exchanging all the sort of remembrances and memories of where they came from, because Tom had come from a very similar place to where Lynn was brought up. And they were referring to certain places, to certain people that both had known a lot. Tom was quite a bit older, of course. And he mentioned one actually that had taught in the Sunday school that Lynn knew, Miss Stalker. He said, "Do you know Miss Stalker?" Lynn said, "Oh yes," she said, "I nearly married her." He said, "Well, that was really interesting." But anyway, through the course of that conversation, I don't know how it came about, but somebody said, "Well, what is your testimony, Tom?" And he began to share his testimony. And the reason I share this with you tonight is simply because of the relationship that this testimony had to the war and to his time in the World War II. Tom had been over in Belgium. I think it was Belgium. It was over in Europe somewhere. And his particular group of soldiers that he was with had been sort of holed up in an outbuilding, a barn, and they were surrounded by enemy and enemy fire. And he said it was a pretty horrendous place to be. And the sergeant had come to them in the middle of the night. He'd said, at some point, he'd said, "Lads," he said, "we cannot stay here. We are in a place, if we stay, we'll die. We've got to get out." And so through that night, they made an attempt to escape from this place where they were confined, out into the open, through the enemy, with the enemy all around. And he said that there were lights, there were flashes of gunfire all around the place. The place was lit up. But he said through that particular darkness, without any shadow of doubt, he had a vision of Christ. Somehow, through the lights that shone, he said there was a cosmic Christ there. And it was shining bright and clear. And it so struck him that we completely forgot to ask, "Well, what happened, Tom? Did you escape?" "Yes, of course he escaped. He was there. But what happened?" And he didn't tell us that, really. But he did tell us that the following day or two he'd gone to the padre. Because this vision of Christ, this seeing of Christ, this coming face to face with the eternal, had been so real to him that he needed to sort it out. And he'd gone to the padre. He said, "Please, can you explain things to me? Why and who this is that I've seen?" Do you know what the padre said? "Don't worry, son. You'll soon get over it. Forget it." What a thing for a padre to say. What a thing for a so-called Christian. If you were challenged like that, what would you say? What would I say? How would we respond? Sometimes it's a challenge to us. When people ask us about our faith, we need to be ready to answer. That's a testimony. And Tom said, although that padre didn't help him at all, when he got home eventually, he said this vision was so real in his mind that he'd gone to the little church in the village where he was living. And to cut a long story short, he'd asked the minister there to explain things to him. And the consequence was that he became a Christian. He gave his life to God. Along with some more lads, they went weekly to a Bible class. And they became ministers. Four out of the five of them became ministers of the gospel because of the witness of this minister that he had gone to see about his salvation. Friends, it's so little sometimes that causes so much. The word in season, the Bible calls it. The word in season, a testimony right from the heart about what Jesus has done for them and can do for others. I guess as you think back, there are those, as I mentioned earlier, who have been an influence in your life. And you thank God for them because of their witness and because of their words. It may just have been simple. It may just have been, as it were, in part of a conversation. But as you've listened, it has become a real leading point for you to come to Christ. And here Jesus is talking about testimony and about the validity of testimony. And he says that our testimony should be true. And these people weren't understanding it. The people that Jesus was talking to were like so many people today who were not listening. He said, you search the scriptures. And people will tell you that they're, yes, we're a Christian. We adhere to this and to that. And yet, through those scriptures, they're not seeing the person of Christ. Because that being a Christian is about knowing Christ. It's about being saved. It's about walking with him. That's what David was saying in that psalm, that he walks with him. He leads him in the paths of righteousness. There's not much more that I can say to you folks tonight, really. Other than this, that if you are a believing Christian, a person who belongs to Jesus Christ, then don't be afraid to show it and to share it with others. I was given, and I hope I didn't mention this the last time I was here, but I was given a really fantastic piece of encouragement, I think you would call it. Part of what I do is I try and go to the auction mart quite regularly. I'm an agricultural chaplain, if you want the title of what I do, sort of in my spare time, and I like to get alongside people. And just a week or two ago, I was sitting with a man that I knew him by sight. I knew of him, and he was having a coffee. I went and sat against him. And I said to this man, I said, how was he? I knew he was giving up some of his farming activities. I said, you're taking life a little bit easier, are you? He said, well, yes. He said, my wife hasn't been too fit. I said, oh, I'm sorry about that. What was her trouble? He said, well, it's amazing, really. He said, I never believed in miracles. I never believed that things could happen in a miraculous way. But he said, I do now, because of what happened to my wife. She had been diagnosed with incurable cancer. And another friend, a brother that I know, had been talking with them, had been to their place, I presume, and he'd said to this lady, can I pray with you? Can I share with you? And she'd said yes. And they prayed. And I guess he must have laid hands upon her, I'm not sure. But he said, the thing that's happened is absolutely unbelievable. She's well. And I saw her at the auction a few days after. And I thought, my, there's a walking miracle. God still answers prayer. When we believe as he calls us to, when we believe in him, trust in him, then who knows what can happen. I know here, as I've come from year to year, as I've come from time to time, that you are Bible-believing people. You believe in God. You just said the creed together, believed in him, in the Holy Spirit, and what he can do. And let us step out in faith like those people of old, like those people through the years, and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. As I stand here before you tonight, I owe so much to those who have been a witness to me. And in closing, I just want to say probably the greatest influence on my life was my father. At the age of 15, he passed away, but he spoke to me years and years and years afterwards through the things that he'd said and through things that he'd done. He being dead yet speaketh. And friends, our lives, we are only here for a short time. We are called to be witnesses. We are called, as Paul says, not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Talking to Timothy, he tells Timothy to uphold the word of God and to speak boldly about what God can do. And he speaks that same message to us. And I pray tonight that you people will continue. I know you're a faithful people. But God encourages you, and I want to encourage you, to go on with him and to be faithful to what he's called you to do. And may God help us to do that. Let's just bow in prayer. That's great. Our loving Father, we do thank you that you are a faithful God. As you have been faithful to your saints of old, and we have the record of them, right through Scripture, through the Old Testament, into the New Testament, through the New Testament, those who have stood for you and been bold in declaring their allegiance to you. And we pray that we may take example from how they lived and from what they spoke of. We pray that in everyday life, in the ordinary run of the daily routine, we might be prepared to stand and to speak and to share your love with others. Father, we are called to do this, and we pray that we may be faithful as we press on. So we pray you'll bless us and continue to be with us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.